Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hi there, thanks for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Football Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm joined this week in the studio by two wise owls from the Racing Post Football Desk, Mark Langdon and Dan Childs. As usual, we will be looking at all the Premier League games in depth. We'll also get the lads' best bets for all the games elsewhere in England and right across Europe, maybe even Scotland, you never know. Before that, though, oh, by the way, we've also got a full Premier League midweek preview next week, which is good, and the lads will have a bet each for that. Before that, though, we haven't done Twitter questions for a long, long time, so I put a tweet out today and got an incredible response. So we'll rattle through a few of these. Craig Bradley says, Mark, can you ask what Villa should do about their striker crisis?
You buy one. I actually quite like the way that they played when it was sort of against Leicester with Trezeguet, El Ghazi and Grealish as like a floating free. Obviously, you can't play like that for the whole season. I thought somebody like a Batshuayi, a loan deal would kind of make sense. But sometimes you can find solutions within your squad. I'm not saying that Villa have got one in Codger, but...
Okay, so say Villa employed you to go and scout a striker for up to 20 million, who would you go for?
It's who wants to come, isn't it? I mean, I would, if they wanted a striker and it could be anyone, I'd say Olivier Giroud is available for about 10 million and I think he'd be absolutely perfect. But there's talk of him wanting to go to Inter. So... It's a really.
Ollie Watkins, maybe. I mean, Smith's had him at Brentford and get the best out of him.
He has, yeah. I mean, would Brentford want to sell at this stage? But they are a selling club.
Okay.
Somebody like Giroud, I would have thought, would be the ideal player for that. For the flair players they've got in
Fine.
Mind.
Jake says, I'm interested in your thoughts on the race for League One title and promotion. Who's going to win League One? Who's going to go up with them, Dan?
Well, it's so tight, isn't it? Coventry, I think, have got a very good chance. They've sort of solved that. The waveform was a problem for them. They hadn't won away until very recently. Picked up that amazing 4-1 win at Wickham and then won away. I'm trying to remember where it was after that, but they got two away wins in quick succession. So I think they got a good chance. Ipswich form's kind of fallen off a cliff, hasn't it? And Wickham as well. I know Mark fancies Portsmouth. I mean, they're going to have a good chance.
I mean, it's an amazing market because like Pompey are around about like 9-1 or 10-1, yeah. And they're not that far off it. And they were a team I felt early on in the season were getting really unlucky. And maybe last season, they started quickly and then fell away. But maybe this time around, they can do it the opposite way.
And even Sunderland are going right now. Sunderland.
Yeah. I mean, Rotherham are top. We've got
right, so coming in, who's going to win it and who's going to go up? Dan? Mark?
I'll go Pompey to win it. Coventry second. Oxford through the playoffs.
Dan?
Coventry to win it. Portsmouth and Oxford.
Okay. We're the same, but just in different combos.
Yeah. Righto. Murray says, can Sheffield United finish in the top six? Mark?
No.
Okay, Dan?
Can who's Sheffield United? No chance, no.
No chance, blimey. The trouble is I put something out about 1917, so I'm getting loads of film things in here as well. Is the first goal scorer, Trixie, the best value Acca? If so, who do you have one for the weekend? Mark, do you like a little first scorer multiple?
I used to like it when you used to get the really juicy each way. When they first came out and it was half the odds.
Half the three. The third, the two. Half the three. Yeah,
yeah. And some did half the five and... you could get like, I don't know, the Celtic favourite was about 3-1 and I really did like that.
Your favourite? Because you had a fantastic tip last week, 16-1 Decore. Who's your current favourite player who offers value for first scorer, Mark?
Decore's come in now. I quite like this weekend is Almiron, who is 16-1 Newcastle against Chelsea. Obviously a bit of a joke figure in terms of he went absolutely ages without breaking his duck in the Premier League. Then he scored against your boys, wasn't he? Yeah. Against Crystal Palace. And since then, he scored in his last three matches. He scored an absolute bucket load.
You
in
do
the
get
MLS.
Streak players, don't you?
Yeah, I mean,
confidence.
I just think it was like a real freak. He was missing chances, and he's 16-1 this weekend, so he might be one. Callum Wilson can't keep performing so poorly. I do believe in the old Jew one sometimes, so I'd stick him in as the second one. And I think Richarlison maybe for Everton.
Jolly good. Dan, you don't tend to focus as much on first scorers, do you? It's not really your thing, is it?
It's more of a bit of a, you know, a fun bet, really, especially since, as Mark's mentioned, the each-way value's gone. I would just throw in, you're looking at players with ability that haven't really had the chance to show it, so maybe, you know, like a Lo Celso, who's got ability, may start to get a run in
certainly
the side now.
Certainly had a chance
now.
To show it the other day when the goalie passed it to him.
And
was another
up,
one of your winning tips.
The one thing I like about first goal scorers, don't want to hover over it too long, but it's when players change positions. So like Decore, when you're just noticing that going from being a defensive midfielder to an attacking midfielder, or, you know, a left back to a left midfielder, that's what you're looking out for, I think.
Okay, Otters says, my favourite football podcast of the year is the pre-season one. If you could pick one season-long bet now, what would it be? So if you're opening a new position, anti-post, what would you go for, Mark?
Rangers to win the Scottish Cup at 3-1.
Scottish Cup?
It's absolutely... I think it's absolutely enormous. All right, you have a look at the Scottish Premiership outright. Rangers are 2 points behind Celtic with a game in hand. Fixed odds firms.
I'm surprised they're outsiders for that.
Well, I mean, fixed odds firms just about make Celtic favourites. Spread firms, Sporting Index, actually make Rangers favourites to win the Scottish Premiership. You have a look at the League Cup final, which Celtic won with their only shot on target in a game that Rangers absolutely dominated. The market sent them off. I think it was about levels. Then they played at Parkhead recently when Rangers got their revenge, and Celtic were odds against to win that game at Parkhead. So basically saying these are two teams of very similar ability.
So has someone just not bothered to update
the prices? I think it's a really stale market. I think it's something like 5-4 Celtic, 3-1 Rangers. Rangers have got Stranraer in the opening game, and Celtic got Partick. So it's not as if there's any, you know, there's nothing to be. It's not like Rangers have got Hibs away or something. So it might not win, but I mean, you can't.
You're
tell
getting
me.
The value.
You
aren't
are.
You?
You're definitely getting the value.
What about you, Dan?
I'd have a look at League One. I mean, there's a lot of, because it's such a tight league. I'd have a look at Burton and Lincoln to reach a playoff. Lincoln are quite a long way off, but there's a real imbalance with their home and away games. They play 10 games at home where they're really strong. And actually, it's 11 now. They beat Bolton in the week, and 15 away. So that's something to look out for. Burton tend to improve in the second half of the season. They're not far off. Higher up the food chain, I'd say Burnley to be relegated is a big price to me.
Excellent. Someone else asked about Lincoln, so you've covered that off. Liverpool v Man City. This is from Matt. Liverpool v Man City Champions League final. Assuming everyone is fit, who goes off favourites and who wins? Dan.
I think City will probably go off favourites.
Isn't that mad?
I would, with the teams at the moment, I would take Liverpool to win.
Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I think City would be favourites. I don't even think they'd
But that's peculiar, isn't it? Why?
Well, on expected goals, and Man City have performed better than Liverpool this season. Liverpool, and this will make, well, it won't anger Liverpool fans, they won't care, they're going to win the Premier League. But, you know, it's been seen, I wouldn't necessarily say they've been really lucky, but it's a phrase I use, they've not been unlucky. You know, like there's been games like Aston Villa where they got two really late goals, Crystal Palace where they got a late one, even that Lo Celso chance that missed against Tottenham, just moments that have gone against City when Newcastle put one in from, you know, 30 yards or whatever it was, Shelvey was it. So it's been a bit like that for Man City, plus they've lost Laporte and also Sane, who I think...
That's been underrated, because he was
definitely a game breaker for them, even if it was off the bench and they could rotate other players around them. So I think that Man City would go off favourites. I think that may influence my bet, which would probably be Liverpool.
Liverpool know how to play City, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Do you ever cash out, lads? Dan?
No, never, no.
Mark?
No.
Why not?
I just feel like you're playing the margin twice.
Are you going to be better off in the long run? That is my, you know, and if I started cashing out, I don't think I'd be better off in the long run. You're just wasting time doing
one, it. So, one caveat I would have is, look, if it's an amazing amount of anti-post money and you think, I want a holiday out.
Or it's 25-5 and your ACCA is already getting the sort of money that could win you a lot.
I did cash out once, yeah.
Yeah?
and that was on an anti-post bet. It was back Watford to win the championship the season they came up. And they were freeze on going into the final day, conceded in injury time against Sheffield Wednesday, and Bournemouth won the title. Okay. So it was the right thing to do then.
But I mean, generally speaking, the way I feel is I've had a bet because I fancy that bet. I don't have that bet in order to suddenly cash out when I can double my money. I mean, as someone once said, if you cash out, you're restricting your chances of winning big and increasing your chance of losing big, if that makes sense. I know it's a few weeks, said Tom, until the next round of matches, but are Man United to win the Europa League the worst jolly of all time?
Yeah, you could argue that, I think. All I would say about it is that United probably, I don't think they're going to finish in the top four. So winning the Europa League becomes the be-all and end-all for somebody like United. I look at somebody like Inter, who are in the title race against Juventus. I mean, are they going to be that bothered? They got quite a nice draw, United, against Bruges. Not an easy one. Bruges did okay in the Champions League, but they're vulnerable favourites. Okay,
so look the other way around and say, who are you going to make favourites? And that's where it becomes a more difficult question, because it's hard to fancy a lot of the teams that are near the top of that
market. Okay. Stuart says, who wins the National League? Dan?
National League.
So I think Barrow are top at the moment, aren't they?
Barrow top. It's a very...
Bromley are going. Well, you got an opinion, lads? You don't have to.
No, I've not really... thought about that, I must admit. No,
Mark,
to give a confident
it was
opinion.
A surprise that Barrow were top to me. So no, I can't. I just know that Wrexham have been an absolute disaster, haven't they? This season.
Yeovil were picked up after a slow start, and you know, they may have a strong second half of the season.
Okay, we'll move on. Lucas says, do you play on the relatively new stat betting markets? What are your opinions of them?
I don't. I think they are sort of fun bets, really. So I mean, they're probably not going to be sort of, you know, like to be able to have loads on. I think they're quite a fun way of betting. I wish that the not all bookmakers offer both sides. And you know,
something I mentioned in the column today. Because some of the prices are just a joke, and I mean the traders must be literally embarrassed to put them out. Okay, Eddie says, do you think one or both of Leeds and West Brom will fall out of the top two in the Championship? If so, who replaces them? Dan Childs.
One of them will. I think it's West Brom that are the ones that are likely to, and I think Brentford will replace them.
Do you?
Absolutely agree, yeah. If Brentford keep...
Can Brentford win this?
They could. Yeah, I mean, I still think that Leeds are the best team in the Championship. They find ways to not win more matches than they should. I suppose they're vulnerable. Brentford are always vulnerable, and we mentioned Ollie Watkins maybe going, you know, like Villa. If they sell somebody, one of that front three, then it becomes a different story. But, I mean, like, surely they've got the sense, I think, they're this sort of time to think we can go up.
I think if they didn't have this strong run they've just been on, they were maybe 10, 12 points off rather than six, they would have been more likely to sell. But the fact that they're so close to automatic now, they're going to think, you know, we've got the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow now, let's take a chance.
And if the big two do go up, then Brentford will be favourites to win the playoffs. So,
indeed. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. That was great. Thanks so much for sending all those questions in. We will do that again soon. That was very interesting. Sorry if we didn't get round to doing your question. Let's get stuck into the weekend matches. And we'll start with the Saturday lunchtime game at Vicarage Road, 12:30 on BT. It's Watford versus Spurs. I'm going to give you Paddy Power's match prices. Obviously, other prices are available, but this gives us a fair clue about what we're dealing with here. Paddy Power go 21-10 Watford, 12-5 the draw, 6-5 Spurs. We'll start with the most famous Watford and Tottenham fan in the land, Dan Childs.
I think I would edge towards Watford here, actually. I just think... if you look at the recent form of these sides, just performances and results, a lot of positives with Watford at the moment. Turnaround happened, shade before Pearson coming, actually. They were doing better, playing better under Hayden Mullins for a couple of games without getting the results. Now the results are coming. And I mean, they drew 1-1 under Flores at Spurs, and arguably, you know, could have won that game as well. Spurs, Mourinho come in, they had the original, you know, early on there was a big upturn, weren't there? And now the results and the performances have dipped. The positives for Spurs, Jafet Tanganga is looking really good for them at the moment. Lo Celso starting to, you know, come into the picture a little bit more, but a lot of negatives. You've got Kane, Sissoko's injury, Lloris still out. Gazzaniga just gives me, you know, heart attacks a lot of the time watching him play recently. And Dembele's a big loss as well. The Eriksen contract situation, just so many negatives, and Watford on a great run. So I've got a tight game, but I think Watford draw no better odds against is worth taking.
What do you fancy, Lange?
Yeah, I've got the same tip there, Watford draw, no bet. I mean, you know, four wins and a draw in the last five. That includes home wins over United and Wolves, teams probably similar in ability to Tottenham. And Spurs have, you know, had their vulnerabilities, particularly away from home. Lost at Southampton, drew with Norwich, drew with Middlesbrough in the FA Cup when they put out a strong team. They've only kept two Premier League clean sheets. I think actually, weirdly, I think performances, I thought they did much better against Liverpool than most people gave them credit for. Mourinho got a lot of stick afterwards, but he got more stick for losing 1-0 to Liverpool than what Pochettino did for not winning an away game for nearly a whole year. But that's just, you know, Mourinho brings that kind of on himself. And I think that does bring with it, you know, some pressure. And I'm not sure that Tottenham are sort of playing how he wants them to yet. It's still a squad made up of Pochettino players trying to play Mourinho's football. It's not quite there yet.
Well, sorry, with your Tottenham fan hats or your Tottenham scarves, are you happy with Mourinho, Dan?
I'm middle of the road at the moment. I was happy, I must admit, I wanted him to come in. I thought he was the right choice at the time. I think he's got a lot of problems to sort out. I think, you know, the focus, I think, had gone from the manager. I think that's transmitted itself to a lot of players, and the injuries he's got recently, just when it looked like it was turning around and performances were turning around. He lost to Ndombele when he was playing really well, to Harry Kane, massive blow. Sissoko, you've lost your first choice midfielder,
really. So you're not sure?
I'm not totally sure, because it was, often he has an instant impact and then it fades, and you know, it's the long term I'm worried about, but short term he's got excuses because of the injury situation.
How about you, Mark?
I don't mind him. I think he's like, as I mentioned earlier, I think he's been quite harshly judged on recent results. I mean, they are missing, I think what you'd say were five of the really important players, and that's difficult to take. I think next season's where you kind of judge him.
Okay, let's do the six non-televised Premier League games next.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. English Manager of the Year three times, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+.
Welcome back. Soccer Saturday will be a good watch on Saturday because we've got 6 3 p.m. games in the Premier League. Let's spin through them. We'll start with Arsenal versus Sheffield United. Paddy Power go 4-5 Arsenal. No thanks. 5-2 the draw. 7-2 the Blades. Mark, who's going to win this?
I'm not sure. I'm going to go under 2.5 goals as the best bet, actually. You have a look at Arteta's five games. The only one that was over was the Chelsea game, when it was 1-0 to really late on, and, you know, Leno makes the mistake. If not, Arsenal probably win that one tight. You look at Sheffield United, 9 of their 11 away games have been unders. That includes trips to Tottenham, Man City and Liverpool. There's no Aubameyang. So I just expect this to be a sort of typical Sheffield United performance, and it won't be easy for Arsenal.
What sort of price are you hoping for on the unders?
Oh no, the unders is the it's virtually a pick'em.
Oh good, yeah, that sounds decent. Dan,
I would tentatively go for a draw in this. I mean, feeding into that low scoring prediction there, I do get the feeling Arsenal performance wise have improved under Arteta. I mean, but the results aren't really showing it yet. I mean, he's had one win in the league, one defeat, three draws. I mean, the draw you watched yourself at Crystal Palace, thought I started that game really well. But even before going down to 10, the performance was kind of tailing off a little bit as well. And so they're still playing in spurts in games. And that was an issue for him even before he arrived. So
They'd like Ozil to actually get involved in a spurt at some point. Can't even do a spurt, can he?
And the other, I mean, look, the thing about to put you off of taking Arsenal at odds on is the Sheffield United strength. I mean, they haven't lost to any team away other than Liverpool and Manchester City. I mean, that speaks for itself.
Brilliant. That manager is something else, isn't he? Brighton are 8-13 to beat Aston Villa. It's 16-5 the draw. And it's 7-2 the Villa. Dan?
I fancy Brighton to win this game, but you know, the price is, when you consider there's only 3 points between the teams in the league, you know, that kind of puts me off a bit. So I'm going to, just to juice it up a little bit, I'll go Brighton to win and both teams to score. 21-10 is the price. Villa, I mean, they've got a lot of weaknesses at the back, as we saw. I mean, Man City ruthlessly exposed that. But they do score goals. They've got 28 goals, which is more than any other team in the bottom half. So Grealish is always, you know, likely to create or maybe score. score himself. So Brighton to win and both teams to score.
Who do you like, Mark?
I like Brighton, but I'm 8-13 for a team that's won two of their last 11 matches, knocked out the FA Cup by Sheffield Wednesday.
They're winning more admirers than points.
They are. And I think because they're so good on possession and, you know, their expected goals are decent, you know, they are going off pretty short, but it makes me nervous backing a team like Brighton 8-13, even against Aston Villa. But let's not forget that Villa did a job on Leicester in the Cup, and I expect them to do, you know, Leicester play similar-ish type football to Brighton, so I expect Villa to do exactly the same, and they've got the best player on the pitch in Grealish. So, Lay Brighton.
So Villa draw, double chance. Man City 1-12, Palace 22-1. 10-1 the draw. Palace somehow won there last year. Can they do it again, Mark?
No, I'm going to go for... I spent way too long looking at this game trying to find a bet to put up. But in the end, I just went for split correct scores on 3-0 and 4-0. Palace...
Who to?
Maybe I should have gone 3-1. A bit optimistic there for Palace. No, Palace are the joint bottom scorers in the Premier League. They've done incredibly well points wise to have only, you know, given they've only scored 20 goals. I just think that this will be, you know, way too difficult for them. If City play like they did against Villa, it, you know, 3-0, 4-0 looks about right.
I think Palace will keep it more respectable. Looking at the results of Palace this season, they've never scored more than two goals, but only once have they conceded more than two goals. So, and Roy Hodgson, even with, you know, he's had lots of different injuries at the back, his teams are always well organised and tough to break down. And I don't think, even if they fall behind, he'll go chasing it as well. I think it'll keep him in a good shape. And so I'll go Man City 2-0, 6-1.
Yeah, the only time we got bashed was at your place, wasn't it? 4-0 down at half time.
I think Spurs scored with all four shots on target that day.
Yeah, very poor. Okay, this is some game, this. Norwich 11-10, Bournemouth 11-5, 5-2 the draw. Goodness me, what a game, Mark.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Bournemouth to win. They're obviously in horrendous form. I still think they're a better team than Norwich, and so therefore I just think that the price looks a bit big. Last week was a terrible, terrible performance, no doubt about that, against Watford. Ramsdale should return in goal. The young Travers made that a key mistake at an important time in that game. But I just think they're better than Norwich. Norwich have won three matches all season, so I don't want to back them at 11-10.
Who do you want to back, Dan?
Yeah, I'm gonna side with Bournemouth as well. They are playing poorly at the moment, Bournemouth, but they've got a couple of players back for that Watford game. Maybe they weren't quite ready, Nathan Aké and Adam Smith, but that should, you know, with an extra week's training, enhance their defensively. They've got good players going forward, the likes of Fraser, Callum Wilson, who's a bit out of form, but you know, he's in the England squad. Harry Wilson and Norwich, I mean, one win in 17, no clean sheet in 14 home games. Even when they take the lead, they seem to manage to lose. The thing about the game is, I think there'll definitely be goals, but both teams to score is really, really short, because Norwich have got to win to get in touch. Bournemouth are looking at it, thinking we've got a couple of these games against teams around us. We must win them. And so I think it'll be an attacking game, both sides, but Bournemouth for me.
OK, and Southampton, who have roared back to form, 13-10. They host Wolves, who are 2-1, and it's 9-4 the draw. Dan, Wolves are getting pretty stretched personnel-wise, aren't they?
And this would be my... I've got quite a strong fancy here for Southampton. Wolves' squad, at busy times of the season, I think is letting them down a little bit. They looked at their bench against Manchester United, and Traore, I mean, he said he was all right, actually, after the game, but he looked like he was struggling with a niggle, and was replaced by a Danish youngster, wasn't he, Burr, who came on, who's a defender, and they had so few attacking options.
Why would you put Traore up against Wan-Bissaka rather than the kid on the other side? I didn't get that at all.
You mentioned this.
I mentioned this against. Yeah,
it's an interesting point that the two really clever managers have both done that. I wonder if there's a bit of. If you put that player there, it stops Wan-Bissaka from even like getting venturing forward at all.
I don't think they fear Wan-Bissaka venturing forward.
No, but I mean, it does,
seems a bit odd.
It does pin him back completely. It is an interesting one, but you know, but both Guardiola and Nuno have had the opportunity to test out somebody weaker on the left hand side and haven't done it.
So what you're saying is if you think you know better than them two, do you? No, I don't.
No,
but it just seems
an
a bit
interesting point.
At least with Sterling, they ended up interchanging like mad, didn't they? So he started on the left. But with Traore, I mean, you can't pass Wan-Bissaka. It just doesn't happen. It's incredible. So what are we going to do for a bet? You like Southampton,
I like Southampton. I just think that Wolves, he's gambled by picking his... Great that he's picked his strongest team for the FA Cup to win the tie, but that was on the Wednesday. You've now got a tough game on a Saturday against Southampton. 7 wins in 10. Ings has got 10 goals in his last 10 starts. So lots of reasons to back Southampton.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I wouldn't back Southampton is that I still think that they struggle a little bit when the onus is on them.
That used to be a criticism of Wolves, didn't
but
it?
I mean, so in some respects, maybe that'll suit.
It's the onus is on them, yeah. Derby, isn't
I mean,
it?
Yeah, so I'm gonna go for the draw, and maybe even a 1-1 correct score. 8 of Wolves' Premier League games this season have finished 1-1. Southampton really tightened up, only 13 goals conceded since that 9-0 humiliation. In the 10-match form table, they're third to only Liverpool, Man City, so they are doing really well. That includes strong performances, Chelsea, Tottenham and Leicester. It's just now everybody expects them to start winning. That's when I'd worry a little bit for them.
Okay, this is another testing game. It's West Ham versus Everton. It's 2-1 West Ham, 23-10 the draw, 13-10 Everton. I got to say, Everton look a little short to me, but I'd be interested to see what you boys think. You're going to tip Everton, Mark, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm going to tip draw. I think if I was going to go for somebody draw, no bet, it would be Everton. But they have only won 2 away games. It's just, I'm not sure really where West Ham are heading at the moment. That was a really odd performance they put in at Sheffield United, albeit that maybe it was a tight game. They could have got something out of it in the end, but they didn't create anything. It was a really negative performance. Nobody upside Haller, and even when he made subs, he didn't really sort of give any kind of attacking impetus to the team. So I think a draw, I think that's the way Moyes looking to play. I did have a look on the Ancelotti's never beaten David Moyes as a man. They've had four goes and he's never beaten him, but maybe that'll continue. I'm going to draw.
This could be the last game on Match of the Day, couldn't it, Dan?
Could well be. I'm going to go with a draw as well. Moyes has tightened them up. I mean, he was... His last 3 games as a manager, his first spell, they can only conceded 1 goal. His first 3 games of this spell, they've only conceded 1 goal. So there is an improvement there defensively. I mean, just a horror mistake there, wasn't it, from Martin, that's led to the only goal conceded.
I thought it was Balbuena's mistake.
Yeah.
Walking in treacle, he didn't get that back pass.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Everton away, you still, for me, can't trust them. 2 wins in 14 Premier League away games. They are to trust as favourites at what is a tricky venue to win at.
Okay, let's do the Saturday night live game and the naps next.
Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's same game multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the same game multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Football Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Mark Langdon and Dan Charles. Let's do the live Saturday night game at St James's Park, 5:30 on Sky Sports. Newcastle versus Chelsea and Paddy Power bet 5-1 Newcastle, 100-30 the draw, and 1-2 Chelsea. Dan Charles, would you be lumping on Chelsea at 1-2 there?
Maybe not 2s, and I do think they'll win the game. So I'll just boost the price up and go Chelsea double result. Quite a bit of odds against 13-10. Just think they've picked it up now. Had that dodgy spell round about the Christmas period, and they've had 7 points. In the last from the last 9, including that win at Arsenal, good win against an Arsenal team improving under Arteta, got a nice 5-point cushion now to Manchester United, and I think Newcastle, even though they're 5 points from the drop zone, are relegation candidates. They don't score enough goals. Jonjo Shelvey is a top scorer in the Premier League with 5 goals. Nobody else scored any more than 2. I mean, that includes Almiron, who's actually on a bit of a run. He's got goals in his last 2 games, but now Chelsea for me.
Mark, Newcastle keep confounding the critics. Do you think they can carry on doing that here?
Yeah, I wouldn't back Chelsea at 2s on. I mean, Newcastle have drawn with Man City, they've beaten United, they've beaten Tottenham, they've drawn a couple of times with Wolves. Chelsea have only kept 1 Premier League away clean sheet, so you probably feel like they're going to have to score at least twice, and they're pretty strong defensively, Newcastle, who did a job as well on Sheffield United, and not many have done that. So they're not a team that plays good football. They're always going to be low. I think they're bottom of the expected goals table. It's just the way it's going to be, I think, for Newcastle. I mentioned it earlier on, but I just think Almiron at 16-1 each way might give you a run. He has scored in his last 3 matches, 4 goals since the game before Christmas, all in. He scored a lot of goals in the MLS, and Chelsea don't keep many clean sheets.
Very quick question. I just want the number. What's your mark for Frank Lampard so far out of 10? Dan Childs?
7.
I'd go 8.
Good. Right then, let's see what else the boys fancy outside of the Premier League. Don't give your naps away, but what have you got for us? It can be in Europe, it can be in Scotland, it can be down in the EFL. What do you like, Mark?
The one bet I like, actually, in the EFL is probably a draw double chance bet. So that's Cheltenham or to not lose at Crewe. Crewe were really poor at a week in Swindon last week and not getting enough credit, I don't think, Cheltenham. They're right up there in League 2. They've only lost 2 games since the end of August as well in the league. So Crewe are really good at home, but they looked a little bit short to me. And then in terms of the Europe, Italian football, Genoa in the relegation zone. Roma played very well in defeat to Juventus last week. Zaniolo picked up a serious knee injury, which is a blow for Roma. And they play on Thursday night in the Cup. All that being said, I still think odds against to win at Genoa is a fair price.
Dan, what have you got for us?
I'm going to go for Derby at home to Hull in the Championship. Derby's home record's been pretty solid all through the season. 7 wins at home. That's 7 of their 8 wins in the league have come at home. They're also unbeaten in 5 games. There's been a bit of a Rooney factor since he's come in. It's sort of lifted the place. His performances have been pretty good as well. He's getting on the ball and getting involved in.
Someone said the other day they're playing with 2 quarterbacks, him and Huddleston, well, both sitting deep and
I'm not sure
around.
The balance is necessarily right. I've noticed most of the time, I think they played both at Palace, didn't they? But I think mostly it has been Rooney and Huddleston sometimes coming off the bench, so just to get the energy in there, especially for the Championship, which is you get found out if you haven't got the energy in there. But Hull. Lost to Fulham 1-0 last week. Didn't create a lot in that game. And Jarrod Bowen, is this transfer speculation maybe affecting him a little bit? He's only got 1 goal in his last 6 games. Another one I'd mention in League One, Wickham have been on a bad run, but home to Rochdale, I fancy him at a shade of odds on. Have had a 3-week to get over the Baron. Look at the bad run they've been playing against Oxford, Portsmouth, Sunderland away, Coventry and Ipswich. It's understandable. They've been on a bad run. Ainsworth, I like as a manager, have had a 3-week to clear their heads and go at this game. And Rochdale have been struggling most of the season. And they've had the 4-1 defeat at Newcastle. So, that's going to have taken a lot mentally and physically out of them.
It's nap time.
This will not be beaten.
Right, I let the side down badly last week with the Leeds double result, so I'm going to try and redeem myself. Play very, very steady with Brentford at 4-6 to win at Huddersfield. Lango, who are you going to nap?
Yeah, I'm going steady as well. Odds on the way from home, but Portsmouth, we've mentioned them quite a bit already. They're starting to slice through that division and they head to Bolton, who look to me like they've given up. Recent results, 4-3 against Burton. They lost 2-0 to a Rochdale team that's not very good. Conceded 5 in midweek at Lincoln as well. The talk that I can understand why they're giving
you
up.
You can't blame them.
I mean, from
so
a financial
sad,
point of view, you may be thinking, let's just go down and be stronger in League Two. That's what it looks like to me. They're struggling for players at the moment. And Pompey are one of the best teams in the division.
What price, Pompey?
4-6.
Excellent. 2 4-6 shots. You got anything more exotic, Dan?
Not much more exotic. I'm going to go Plymouth in League Two, 10-11 at home to Mansfield, which I still think is a big price. Plymouth 5th in the table on a great run. Won 5 of the last 6 games. Exception was losing 2-1 at home to leader Swindon. And they've got Luke Jeffcott, who they've called back from a loan spell at Truro, 19-year-old striker. He's got 4 goals in his last 2 games, giving them a real injection of quality up front. And they're against Mansfield, who it's not really turning around for them. 19th in the league. Graham Coughlin came in from Bristol Rovers, expecting, there was a view that maybe they had a good squad that was underperforming, but no real improvement. They lost 4-3 at home to Forest Green last weekend, having been 2-0 up, 1 win in 12. Don't see them getting anything at Plymouth.
Okay, so we're going very, very conservative here. We're going Plymouth, Portsmouth and Brentford. Hopefully that treble will cop. Right then, we've got 2 live games on Sunday, starting at 2 o'clock. Burnley versus Leicester. It's live on Sky Sports. Burnley are, I need my glasses on here, 16-5. It's 13-5 to draw. These are Paddy Power prices. And Leicester, who faltered a little bit recently, they're 5-6. Mark, can the Foxes get back on track?
Yeah, I think so. They're not as good as the league table suggests. We're saying that for most of the season. So it's not a surprise that they've just had a little mini wobble now. I think it's totally understandable. And probably indeed his injury has been the catalyst for that. But Burnley, as Dan mentioned earlier, look to be one of those teams that's heading in right in the wrong direction at the moment. They lost to all of their matches against the Big Six, and if we now include Leicester, so sort of like a Big Seven, lost all of them this season. Not as competitive either, or keeping it as close as they did. And you just go back to that performance on New Year's Day when they were so poor against Aston Villa. You just start to wonder whether this kind of Daesh voodoo magic's running out. I certainly think just a shade of odds on Leicester, a team that's going to be playing Champions League football next season, looks fair enough to me.
Dan, what's your opinion in this one?
I'm going to go Leicester as well. I would say that I think the Ndidi injury is going to hurt them for the rest of the season. I'm not sure it will hurt them in this game. I'll explain why. I just think that the position he takes there in front of the back four against teams that play more between the lines and need that to use that space. Southampton did it in the last game. I think that's going to be more of an issue against physical teams. They're strong enough at the back physically, and I think with Burnley it's often a direct assault. I think they can handle that better, even though they've not got the best holding midfield player there.
So Choudhury comes in for Ndidi.
He's not bad, but I still think it is a big drop off from Ndidi. I mean, Ndidi's one of the best defensive midfield players in the division.
Numbers wise, he's up there with like Conte, isn't he? In terms of what he does.
He's fantastic. And Burnley, I mean, the obvious negatives for them. I mean, 10 defeats in the last 14, 3 points from the drop zone. They've got this game, then they've got Man United in midweek as well. At Old Trafford, I think big problems for them.
You say Man United as if that's scary. It's not anymore. As the market for our big game of the day at 4:30 on Sunday shows, it's Liverpool versus Man United, and Paddy Power make Liverpool 1-3. That would have been inconceivable at any other time in recent history. 7-2 the draw, and 7-1 Man United, whose problems potentially got worse when Rashford limped off after a very short appearance as substitute with a back problem. Whether or not he is back, Dan, can you see Man U getting anything here?
No, I actually think you could argue Liverpool should be shorter when you look at the run that they're on, the 29 out of 30 Premier League wins, 37 games in all competitions at home without losing. It's just a derby factor, I think, is the reason that the prices are as competitive as they are. I do think Liverpool win. I'm going to go to boost the price. So Liverpool and under 3.5 goals at a shade of odds against, which I think is a good bet. What we've noticed with Liverpool, apart from that Leicester game where they kind of ran riot, they've actually, 9 of the last 10 games, they've not scored more than 2 goals. So they've been relying a lot more on that defence that was, at the start of the season, was a little bit shaky, but they've really tightened up at the back, and they'll be able to rely on it here as well and get the points.
Can you see a shock, Mark?
No. Klopp's only won one Premier League game against Manchester United, so if you're looking for... And then Salah's never scored a Premier League goal against United. So if you kind of, if you're a United fan, you're probably hoping that can sort of, stay the same, and that, United are the only team to have avoided defeat against Liverpool in the Premier League this season. It took a late Lallana goal to keep the unbeaten run going. But there's a massive gulf between the two teams at the moment. There's no doubt about that. Hopefully me and Dan's bets can both win. I'm betting slightly against him here, but it's Liverpool to win and over 1.5 goals. It just needs 2 goals.
So you're just taking the 1-0 out of the equation?
Yeah, you are. And the 1-0's only happened once, but you're getting it 4-6. So if you want to take on a 1-3 shot.
Really?
Yeah.
You're getting 4-6 just for taking...
That
sounds like a very good way of enhancing it.
Yeah, 1-0 is still... I mean, these games do tend to be relatively tight, I think, as Dan was sort of pointing to. I'm just hoping that this one bucks the trend, really, and that Liverpool... If Liverpool play like Liverpool have been playing, then, they'll win well. I mean, they only beat Tottenham 1-0, so there is... And they only beat Wolves 1-0, so it's not something that, you have to, you have to say... it's an absolute certainty, and it's a much better way, because a 1-0 is still, a fair runner. But I just think if you want to take on get a bit more out of the price, that might be the way to do it.
That seems very sensible.
Just a point on the gulf and all between these teams. I mean, there's a 27-point gap between the teams, and there's a 13-point gap between Man United and the relegation zone. I mean, that gives you an idea of the gulf.
Liverpool have also last 8 Premier League games have copped for half-time, full-time back. So, I mean, they're not just... They're just... beating teams up. You know, and we saw, I mean, people have different views on what happened with, you know, how Tottenham played against them. But if a team like Tottenham thinks their best way of taking points is to play that negatively, and it probably was, United did something really similar as well. I mean, you're almost winning games before you've turned up, aren't
it's
you?
Amazing, you know? It's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely
great.
Astonishing.
Great to see a team that I really like to watch them. They're just fabulous to watch.
I think that's right. They're not, you know, they're not grinding it out. They're not, you know, they're just flamboyant and brilliant. The fullbacks are just wonderful, aren't they? They're a really, really great team.
And they've had injuries as well. Alisson was out for a chunk. Fabinho's been out. That could have derailed. I mean, the goalkeepers. I mean, Man City had problems when they went to Anfield. They had too many players out for a big game. But I mean, I think they've had injuries. Kate's been out. The centre half, nearly all the centre halves have been out.
I think
apart
Fabinho,
from Van Dijk.
If you look at the players, you know, best to stop other teams scoring, you've got the goalkeeper, Fabinho and Van Dijk, and you could say they've lost two of them three. So that's
they've
overcome that pretty well.
I don't think they've. It's not you couldn't say that's why, you know, that's why they're doing so well is because they've had a good run.
Okay, let me turn that around. If Van Dijk had got injured when Laporte got injured and Laporte had been available all season, what would the gap be now?
Well, I would say there probably wouldn't be much in it. I mean, I think Man City would be quite close to, about the same points. I mean, you probably...
He's obviously the biggest part of that defence.
You probably I don't know how many points you'd take off Liverpool and you'd add a few to City. I mean, I don't know if Laporte would have saved all of City's problems, to be honest.
No.
I think every time City concede a goal now, people say, well, if Laporte was there, you know, they
would... Yeah, there's a double whammy there because not only have you not got a fantastic centre back there, you're also pulling high quality central midfielders aren't you?
Yeah,
so you're weakening two areas there.
Yeah,
okay. Right then, but yeah, obviously Liverpool are absolutely superb. Right then, we've got a full midweek Premier League programme spread across 3 days. I'm going to spin through the fixtures and then the boys can choose a bet each. We've got Villa Watford, we've got Bournemouth Brighton, Palace Southampton, Everton Newcastle, Sheffield United play Man City, Chelsea Arsenal, Leicester versus West Ham, Tottenham versus Norwich, Man U versus Burnley, and on Thursday, Wolves versus Liverpool. More great action there. If you could only have one bet on those, Dan, who would you go for?
I'm going to go for Watford, draw no bet at Aston Villa. I watched the game at Vicarage Road when Watford won 3-0 and they were 1-0 up when they went down to 10 men and then still ran out comfortable 3-0 winners. I know playing at Villa Park will be tougher, but I think Villa are so low on confidence at the moment and Watford high on confidence. Unless that changes dramatically in the fixtures before over the weekend, I can see Watford certainly not losing there. And that's why draw no bet, shade of odds on is a good bet.
Who are you going to go for, Langer?
Does look a really tricky card. Obviously, it's a quick turnaround for all these games. I did wonder whether Arsenal could avoid defeat at Stamford Bridge. No, Aubameyang is obviously an issue, but it does mean maybe that Arteta can put another defensive-minded player in there. And I thought that they played quite well against Chelsea at the Emirates, and if they are heading in the right direction, I think from a defensive point of view, he's sorting them out pretty well in terms of where they win the ball back and that hunger. That might sort of actually be better as we go forward with Arsenal into not losing matches. Whether it actually turns them into a great attacking force, I don't know, but I think he's sorting the defence out. That's been sort of part one of his remit, and I think he's doing that quite well. They're not giving up quite as many chances as what they did.
I could have had 10 goes and I wouldn't have said you'd have Arsenal to get something at Chelsea. I'm amazed, but yeah. We shall see.
I'm not mad on. I think Chelsea are going off pretty short against Newcastle. It just feels a bit short.
Are you going to see any live football between now and when we convene next Thursday?
No, I'm not going to a game this weekend. No. Dan, you at Watford?
Yeah.
Watford v Spurs?
Yeah, Watford v Spurs.
Actually, that's one where the half and half scarf salesman he's got a potential
and
market
just
there,
today,
hasn't he?
I bought a ticket because they were selling tickets for a game that might not even happen for Watford against Manchester United in the FA Cup fourth round. They're selling the tickets today and they'll refund if Tranmere knock Watford out next Thursday.
Oh, I see. That's quite good, isn't it? yeah. I see. You've hedged. That's like, you know, when you... yeah. When you get the Champions League draw, don't you, sometimes you think, well, we can only draw there or there, so I'll nick a quick Ryanair flight. And excellent stuff. So no live football, Mark?
No.
How many games will you watch, do you think, between now and next Thursday?
10, maybe.
Dan?
Probably live, only four or five, but I always religiously watch the... all the championship quest 2 hours every Saturday. So, yeah.
You married well, lads. I can only dream of that. Right then, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Don't forget, if you enjoy the shows, please do make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. And that now includes Spotify. We've got the Racing Postcast tomorrow, looking ahead to a great race at Ascot and loads of other brilliant action across the weekend. And we're back next Thursday for another Racing Post football postcast.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.